Morning, good morning. Today is the fourth day of Sukkot. Is that correct? The Ushpizin of Machlokes, right? Today is the Machlokes. Who says today's complicated day? Is it Yosef or is today Moshe? Moshe, right? Isn't it right? Right? Avram Yitzchak Yaakov.
Moshe Aaron.
So Moshe Aaron, Yosef David. So some say that first comes, we discussed this yesterday. When is the Ushpizin of Yosef? When is the Ushpizin of, what is the correct word? All right, but now we're doing that today. Today we're doing, we'll do today the Rishus. I always found this to be very, very, very beautiful. The Rishus, it's called the Rishus of the Chosan Torah and the Chosan Bereshus. Yesterday we briefly discussed, we asked the question, what is Mochashev? If you can get one of the two. If it means something to you, I mean, you know, not everyone wants the limelight, not everyone, but if what is more chashuv? Is it more chashuv to be the chasan Torah, or is it more chashuv to be the chasan Bereishis? And the truth is, it's not a fair question, because, you know, if a person is, I would assume that if a Talmud Chacham, it would be more chashuv for him to be the chasan Torah, and a person that's not his thing in life, He's involved in other very worthy pursuits, and he's not Torosai Umnosai, then maybe it would be more chashuv for him to be the Chosan Bereishis. Okay, it's different strokes for different folks. As I told you yesterday, I've not been around all that much. In the few little kilois that I've davened over the years, I stay on this earth, I've sort of gotten the impression, this can be totally wrong, I've gotten the impression that In the Hasidish world, Chosan Bereishis is more chashuv, and in the Litvish world, the Misnagdim Chosan Torah is more chashuv.
Right.
Is that really true?
Well, that I see that's the way it works.
Yeah. Okay.
It depends where I daven.
Yeah.
What I got. Mm-hmm. Always got something.
Okay. So I right away said, well, the only fair way we can really analyze which one is more chashuv is to look at the Rishus. We call up the Chosan Torah with a beautiful nusach. We even sing it in the nigun of Akdamos. Rishus Okel Hagadol Hagiba V'Hanayra U'Merishus Mipazul Panimim Yikara. Right, everyone is familiar with that. Actually, it's sung. And I had many years ago when I used to daven. I haven't been there in years on Simchas Torah in Yeshiva Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin, and they have a very unique minuk. The minuk there is they give the Rosh Shiva selects one of the members of the Koilel for Chosan Torah, and Chosan Bereishis. I don't remember.
But somebody who can afford to give the kiddush.
No. They don't pay a penny. The person in the Koilel doesn't pay a penny. And he selects a senior member of the Koilel. And they don't know, the yeshiva pays for the Kiddush. And it's the only Kiddush in those days. Everything today has changed. I'm talking over here 100 years ago. But in those days, a regular Shabbos Kiddush was seltzer and sponge cake. That was a Shabbos Kiddush. They used to have a nice Kiddush. But then Baruch Hashem, the yeshiva grew. And to make to pay for a nice hot kiddush every Shabbos, every Baruch Hashem, the population grew. There were kiddushim. It was an expense. It was a big expense to provide food for a very large tzibur. So then they cut down and they just made I don't know, you call it takonis, and the kiddush became very standard, very, very bland. I believe since then they've changed, and they've made it a little bit more elaborate. It was a little bit too bland, and they've increased. I don't know. I don't even know who makes it. It could be that the yeshiva makes it. The yeshiva. I have no idea how all this works. Whatever it is, all I know is that by daven on Shabbos now in Yeshiva or Yitzchak, there the yeshiva is the one who actually prepares the food. So the expense. You don't have to go hire a caterer and go pay crazy amounts of money, and the boys do everything. The boys put out, set up the tables, and they bring out the food. They serve, they clean up. So you're just paying for the cost of the food for the yeshiva, which is not anything near what it would cost to have a caterer come in and do a professional job. And they do it every Shabbos, b'li yoytz min haklal. It's beautiful. It's a very nice thing, camaraderie. It's a very chashuv thing. But in any event, in the Yeshiva Chaim Berlin, the Rosh Yeshiva selected a senior member of the Kollel, and it was a big deal. It was a big deal. Who was the Chosson Torah? It wasn't the Rosh Yeshiva. It wasn't one of the Rebbeim. It wasn't a Gevir. It was a member, a young guy, probably not even 30 years old, who, a member of the Kollel, he was selected. It was a big deal. Who's the Chosson Torah? Ooh, it was a big deal, big deal. I don't have any recollection of Chosson Bereishis, who they gave it to. What they, I know Chosson Kol HaNaorim was always given to Rabbi Yonasan Max. He was basically the dorm counselor. It's not nice to say. He was one of the Rebbeim. He was a Rebbe in the yeshiva, but he took care of all the boys. He was the one that, you got a problem, you go to him. In any event, it's a very chashuv thing. In every shul, there are different minhagim. There are auctions, and there are, in fact, where I daven on Shabbos, so they have an auction, but the auction is daf. It's not for money. The auction is who pledges to learn the most daf gemara in the coming year. They get, that's the auction. 100 daf gemara. Who's going to pledge to learn 100 daf gemara this year? 200, 300. And believe it or not, there are some people that pledge big numbers, and that's who they there's an Ilyusha guy every year, he gets it. He's an Ilyusha person, Kamenetsky. He's an Enikler of Yachav Kamenetsky. He already went through Shas or anything already 3 times. So he always wins, and he gives it to who he wants. You know, he wins it. It's like an auction. Every shul does what they do, different strokes for different folks. But the most chashuv thing about getting Chosson Torah, as I mentioned yesterday, is not getting the Aliyah. No way. That's not what's chashuv about getting Chosson Torah. What's chashuv about getting Chosson Torah is they read in your honor this piyut called the Rishus. And we're going to read it in a second, and it is absolutely stunning. And the blessings are le'ela le'ela. And as I was mentioning before, that years ago when I davened in Yeshiva Chaim Berlin, then it was very nice, the Baal Musaf, the Gabbai, was not the one who read the Rishus. The one that read the Rishus was the Baal Musaf of the Yomim Noiroim. And he had a very melodious voice, and it was dead silent. Not like, unfortunately, that goes on in some other places. It was quiet. And he got up with his beautiful, melodious voice, and he sang it. And believe me, it's quite a covet when he's singing in front of a very large choshuva crowd of B'nai Torah, this beautiful piyut. Life is all what you make out of it. It's all what you make out of it. You can take something that's choshuv and you can totally destroy it. And you can take something which, in the eyes of most people, is not so chashuv, and you can build it up and you can make it into something very chashuv. Unfortunately, you know, this, with the reading of the Rishus, so Baruch Hashem, on my stay on this earth, I've been around to a few places here and there, and I've seen different things. In many, some places it's very parif. You know, the Gabbai sings it. People not really paying much attention.
Yes.
You did over 20 years. Oh wow, you're very fortunate. It was quiet. Everyone paid attention.
Actually, no, it was just because of the gracious. I gave it to somebody else. Mm-hmm.
So to do a few places that I've been. Some places, you know, like I once went to an Hashkama Minyan, and like they were just such a rush to get out of there. The whole thing was a joke. And other places, no, everyone was talking. No one was paying attention. And other places, you know, in the middle, somewhere in the middle. But what made an impression in those years was when the Baal Musaf did it, and he did it with a real geschmack, and people listened. It was something to listen. It was an art, how he said it, how he sung it, and with the nigun, he did it slowly, clearly. It was an experience. He doesn't come anymore. For years, he hasn't been there for on Simchas Torah. I have no idea what it's like today. I have no idea. Everything in life, you know, everything changes. Nothing is forever. And every shul, it is what it is, and it's all what you make out of it. And one thing I can say for sure, you have here an opportunity. A rabbi has an opportunity on Simchas Torah to make something very choshev out of the recital of this reshus. You know, Akdamos, everyone is pretty much with it, with the program. Even though it's the middle of the night in many shuls, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, people are tired, but pretty much, more or less, people are with the program when it comes to Akdamos. So there's no difference, there's no reason why the people shouldn't be with the program and paying attention and listening and following along and have a person who knows how to read it well. Okay, not just the guy who mumbles it, someone who knows how to read it well, practices and has the nigun. There are very talented people out there, and there's definitely an opportunity to make something big out of the recital of the reshus. Now there are two of them. There's the reshus for the chasson Torah and the reshus for the chasson bereshus. Art Scroll, to their credit, did a beautiful job. You have to look at the Art Scroll, the interlinear. Okay, I have in my hand the shul. I found three in the shul. I gave out three. The Art Scroll has the interlinear Shabbos the Yom Tov. Okay, there's an interlinear siddur for Yomei Sachol, and there's an interlinear siddur for Shabbos and Yom Tov. And then, of course, there's the Machzor. Okay, there are Machzorim. You have the Machzor, not interlinear, all the different versions. So in the interlinear version, they really did it very, very nicely. They translate every single word in their style with the carrots and the whole system. Everyone knows this. And they did a very nice job in presenting it very, very nice. I don't have 20 of them to hand out. So I took from a sitter today and I made a photocopy from a sitter, the back of a sitter, because you should know that in the most sidurim, they don't have it. In the standard Art Scroll sitter, you don't have this. They don't have this. You're only going to find this in a machzor. You're not going to find this in a regular sitter. The reshus. And if Art Scroll would not have published this in their sitter for Shabbos and Yom Tov, no one would have any complaints. It's a specialty item. But they were kind enough to publish it in the sitter of the Shabbos and Yom Tov sitter. And I don't know what they held them back from publishing it in the regular sitter, but they didn't. It's only two paragraphs. It's beyond me why they didn't publish it. Mamish, I don't understand, but a lot of things I don't understand. So I have here another sitter. This sitter is the Vilna sitter. The Vilna sitter is a whole story to itself, but Baruch is here. Baruch, I'm going to be a lot of trouble because Baruch is a gabbai. Baruch, I'm sure, also said the reshus for many, many years. Baruch, I gave out photocopies of the reshus. He has joined us online. If you want to follow along, if you could take out a machzor.
I'm taking it out now.
Okay, Baruch Hashem, good. Okay, and please feel free to comment from your experience, of Mordechai also, your experience. Now, there are two separate paragraphs. There's the reshus for the chasson Torah and the reshus for the chasson Bereshis. The reshus for the chasson Torah, I searched a little bit, not very much. I cannot find who is the author. I do not know who is the author of this reshus. It does not say anywhere. I don't know. It's not clear who composed this reshus. However, the reshus from chasson Bereshis, there's an acrostic. In this sitter, you don't see it. In the photocopies that I gave out, you don't see it. If you have the Art Scroll sitter, they did very nice. They put in bold the acrostic. Who is the author? The author is Menachem B'Rebbe Mochir Chazak V'Ematz B'Torah Lo'ad U'V'Mitzvos U'V'Ma'asim Tovim. Woo! What an acrostic. Okay, if you look, you have to really look at the Art Scroll sitter. I really should have photocopied it for you, but on the first line of each, the first word of each line is his name. As is very common in piyutim, where the authors they embed in the piyut their name, Chazak, and other words and other ideas, and here it is Rebbe Menachem B'Rebbe B'Ribi, B'Ribi, which means the great, Menachem B'Ribi Mochir, the son of the great Mochir, that was his name, that was his father's name, Chazak V'Yematz.
What is B'Ribi?
B'Ribi, Menachem B'Ribi Mochir.
B'Ribi,
B'Ribi, Beis Reish Beis Yud, which basically means the son of Rebbe. Some say B'Ribi means the great one. The great one, in the Gemara, it says B'Ribi means the great one. I'm not sure. But the way it is presented here, it's Menachem B'Ribi. I assume it means the son of Rebbe, Mochir, Chazak V'Yematz. B'Torah, he should be strong and encouraged in B'Torah, in Torah, La'ad, forever. Uve mitzvois, uve ma'asim tovim. Who is this person? He is a nephew in the art scroll. To their credit, they tell you the source. He is the nephew of the famous Rabbi Gershon. Rabbi Gershon, the Nun, the Mo'or HaGoyla, who lived in the late 11th century. 11th and early 12th century. So he lived about 100 years past Rashi. Rashi died in the year 1105. So he lived, he lived in the late 11th century. He lived mamish the same time as Rashi, right? 11th century. If he lived in the late 11th century, and early 12th centuries.
11th century is the 1000s.
Right. So Rashi, the late 11th century. Yeah. Rashi died 65 years old, and Rashi lived primarily at the very beginning of the 11th century. So he overlapped with Rashi. So this piyut, it's amazing, goes back to the time of Rashi. Rashi. Unbelievable. Time of Rashi, the Balei Tosfos. He's from the Balei Tosfos. He wrote the piyut of Chosan Bereishis. Chosan Bereishis is more complex. It's clearly more complex than Chosan Torah. It's more elaborate. It's more intricate. There's more detail. Okay, it requires more study than the Rishus of Chosan Bereishis. However, yet, to each his own, in my impression of reading them, Chosan Torah is more choshev. Who am I to open up my big mouth and say? There's something about Chosan Torah, even though it's simple, it's much simpler. The language is much simpler. It's very straightforward and it's heavy. It's heavy in giving bracha and kavod. Chosan Bereishis, it's more poetic, it's more sophisticated, but the blessings are not as elaborate. Now, there's another fundamental difference between the Rishus of Chosan Torah and Chosan Bereishis, and to me, it's a little disturbing. But I'm trying not to get my lowly opinion into this. Chosan Torah doesn't make any mention that the person who's getting Chosan Torah is giving anything in exchange. Chosan, the Rishus of Chosan Torah, its way we're going to read in a few moments, is the Tzibur has decided that this person is deserving of Chosan Torah. There's a one-liner in the Chosan Bereishis which basically says that this person has purchased this kavod, and we want to remind him, don't forget to pay up. So it seems that the custom, Rabbeinu Mochir, Menachem, Rabbi Mochir, wrote something that related to the times, is that it was the custom in his community where they would auction off, or if not auction, there was basically an assumption that the person that received the honor, a gvir, received the chosan bereishis, and in exchange for the honor, he was expected to support the tzibur. To support, we'll read it inside. Chosan Torah, there's no such thing. Chosan Torah, the impression is that tzibur has decided that this person is worthy to be the Chasam Torah. Chasam Bereishis, it's been given, it appears from the Nusach, that it's been given to a wealthy person who is a toimech, is a supporter of the tzibur. Now, when you read that in the Nusach, it becomes very disturbing as to, automatically that means Chasam Torah is more chashuv. Because if Chasam Torah you have to earn, you can't buy. So I don't know, at least in my world, something that you can't buy is more valuable than something that you can buy. There are things in life you can't buy. And the thing that when you can't buy, you have to earn. So to be worthy of Chasam Torah, that's a very great stature. Chasam Bereishis, you get lucky, you win the lottery, you know, I shouldn't say that. There are people who work very, very hard to, you know, to earn, to become successful in whatever they do, doctor, lawyer, businessman, whatever they do, and then they're generous. Out of their generosity, they are purchasing this honor, or the tzibur is giving it to them in recognition, in gratitude for their support. Now, today you go to a shul, I mean, it's very pasha, the Talmud Chacham comes before the Gevir. I mean, in Ismach, even though, you know, Ismach is Zavulim v'tzeitzacha v'yisachar b'oihalecha, this whole sugya, you know, it says, in one pasuk it says Zavulim comes first. So, in the other pasukim it says Yisachar comes first. Yet, when you look at the Rishus, why would you give the rabbi, or the rebbe, Chasam Bereishis, unless you'll say that the rabbi is the mashbir, the rabbi also sometimes, you know, independently wealthy rabbanim who support the tzibur. Okay, it makes sense a little bit. Many times the rebbe, he is the mashbir. He's the one that supports. In the Litvish world, that's not usually the way it is. Usually, at least traditionally, was, you know, that they were only in learning the Rosh Yeshivas, and they were supported by the Tzibur. Okay, you can make out of it whatever you want. These are just a little bit tidbits, and now let's read inside. We'll go through very quickly, and you'll get a little bit of a flavor of what it's all about. But also one other thing I want to point out, and that is the idea of Rishus. On the Yomim Noiroyim, we're very into this idea of Rishus, permission. Who is the one that really appreciates the principle of getting permission? And that's the Malachi Hashores. Every single day before in davening in Birchas Kriya Shema, we say v'chulam noisnim rishus ze lo ze lahaktish liyotsham benachas shvach. There's something called permission, derech eretz. The Malachi Hashores, they excel in this concept of derech eretz. Derech eretz, you don't step on someone's toes. This is their thing. This is their day. This is their mokim. You don't take away from someone what's theirs. Derech eretz, noisnim rishus ze lo ze. I mentioned this a few times in the unesane toikef prayer. This is what I enjoy this word very much. I'm sure I told it to you. I did tell it to you. And just to review very quickly, is in the unesane toikef prayer, it says that the malochim are terrified. Umalochim yechafezun v'gil ur'odo yechezun v'yoimru hine yoim hadin. Why are the Malachi Hashores so busy and worried on the Yimei Hadin? The Malachi Hashores, they don't have much bechira. Some of them maybe do, but the Yoim Hadin is primarily for us. It's not for the Malachi Hashores. Why are they so worried? So the end of Chumash Devarim in Parshas Nitzavim and Vayelech, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm 120 years old today. Le'uchal oid lotzeis v'lovo. I can no longer go out and come in. Rashi asked the question, why not? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu unable to go out and come in? Maybe because he's old. He's 120 years old. His joints don't work. His knees don't operate. His feet don't work. He's weak. Yochol, it's because Moshe Rabbeinu had no koyach. Chas v'shalem. Loi nos, like, what does it say in the pasuk of Amaleski? Loi nos lechoi, v'loi koha. He was no fatigue. He was vibrant. He was vibrant. He was betokvai. Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he was 120 years old, he was betokvai. There was nothing lacking in his koyach. So why then was Moshe Rabbeinu, did he say, Lo yuchal oy lot says v'lovai? So Rashi answers, I don't have rishus. I don't have permission anymore to live. I'm 120 years old. Lo yuchal oy lot says v'lovai. I'm healthy, I'm vibrant, I'm gesund. And Rashi's words are, I don't have rishus. Le'nitna li rishus. I don't have permission. When we come to the end of the year, on the Yemei Hadin, what are we asking for? A person, you know, Baruch Hashem, many people, they're healthy. Doctor says, as far as I'm concerned, you're good to go. As far as your body, everything is functioning, everything is good. You'll live another, al derech hatav, you'll live another 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years you'll live. Your body is fit, you're healthy, you have a good diet, you take care of yourself, everything is good, you should live. Live another 50 years, another 100 years, everything is good. So what are you so worried about? What are you worried about? You come Yemei Hadin, you come Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you're worried about Meyichya, Meyamos. What are you worried about? You were able to come to shul today. You walked into shul today, you got there. You're healthy. You're good to go. Hashem made a world of teva. People have a life expectancy and they're healthy. So what's the problem? What is everyone shuckling so much, so worried about? On Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, it's not a question of your health. Moshe at 120 years old was perfectly healthy. He could have gone another 1,000 years. You know, it's a kash on all these doctors on all the sides. I once read this fascinating article where they said that al derech hateva, a person, the body can only last 130 years. Made a whole analysis of, you know, all the scientific analysis of whatever, how long a physical, something physical, a human being can survive. 130 years, 125 years it was. So right away, oh wow, look at that. Look at that. They were mechaving to Amita Shel Torah. Because the Torah, we know, 120 years. Baloney. Baloney. Moshe Rabbeinu was 120 years. Chazal tell us he was perfectly healthy. He could have gone for another 120 years. It's baloney. What the scientists say that the body can only go 120 years is baloney. Don't go, oh, look, they were mechaving to Amita Shel Torah because a person is only supposed to go 120 years. It's not true. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi says, he was 120 years, perfectly healthy. He can go for another 120 years. So what's the 120 years all about? Rishus. A person comes into this world, he's given permission to live for approximately 120 years. And every single year, you need to renew permission, rishus. Rosh Hashanah is not about physicality. It's about getting permission to live another year. Rishus. And just like in Mi Yichye Mi Yomus, a person needs rishus, when it comes to everything in life, you need permission. And here, when we're calling up a person to be honored with the kibbut of being Messiah the Torah, or starting the Torah, you need rishus. You need permission. I'm waiting for the day, the Sima Shas. I'm not joking. If I was on the board of the Agudas Yisrael of America, I'm laughing really hard. Really hard. I would say that by the Sima Shas, when they call up the person to be Messiah, they should say this. They should say this. They should read this. They should, instead of having, you know, they have a lot of wasted time. a lot of strange things go on at the Sima Shas. They have plenty of time there for a lot. Take out one of the speeches and they should sing this Rishus. Spice it up a little bit. They would reject my proposal before I even open my mouth. But I'm saying, you know, there's a concept of Rishus, of Netilas Rishus, before you do something very choshev. And that is presented here in this in this piyut, and it comes from the Malachi Hashareis. They have taught us the value, the importance of Netilas Rishus, and that's what we do on Simchas Torah. Okay, so let's read over here what it says over here. Mirishus. Okay, I want to just make sure the parents don't get stuck over some of the words. I'll read over here from the from your page, it's on page 638. And on the photocopies, on page 638, on the very, very bottom, Rishus L'chosan Torah, and in the art scroll sitter, it's on page 1074. May Rishus, with the permission, Hakel HaGodol HaGibor V'Hanera, that's taken right out of Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, we take all of Hashem's names. So every single day, you say this three times a day, Hakel HaGodol HaGibor V'Hanera, Umei Rishus, and from the permission, Mipoz U'mipninim Yikora. What does that mean? Torah. We are giving life, quality of life, we are giving a character of life to the Torah. The Torah is called Paz, gold, Umipnimim. Upnimim means precious gems, or it could mean it's more precious than what's inside the Kodesh HaKodoshim. The Pnim, it's Yikarihi Mipnimim, it's more precious. Let's learn simply now, it means it's more precious than precious gems. Yikara. We are asking permission from the Torah itself. We ask permission from Hashem. We ask permission from the Torah, which we call Paz, gold, the finest gold. There are seven types of gold. Possibly Paz is one of those types of gold. Upnimi means pearls or precious gems. Yikara. From the item that is more precious, more beloved, more honored than gold and precious gems. Umirishus Sanhedrin Hakidoishova Hatahira. We ask permission from the Sanhedrin. Umirishus the Rosh Yeshivas. Rosh Yeshivas, the Alufe Hatar. What are the Alufe? The Alufe Hatar Lakewood, they made a big event this year, 2 years already, called the Adire Hatara. Why didn't they call the event the Alufei HaTorah? I'm starting up with Aguda. I'm starting up with Lakewood today. They're going to soon come carry me away here. I keep on going here with my comments. Okay, Alufei HaTorah. The Alufei HaTorah, the princes. The princes of Torah. Rav Mordechai Mintz, if you were given, yes, they asked your opinion, should we call the event the Adiri HaTorah or the Alufei HaTorah? What would you call it? Yeah, none of the above.
No, Adirei HaTorah is by the
Kinnis. The Kinnis. The Asari Yimalchus. What is this? This is the going on Kiddush Hashem? We're going here on Kiddush Hashem. The Adirei. Adirei HaTorah. Areze Halavanan. Adirei HaTorah.
The ace of Aluf Kanaz.
The Alufe, the prince. So he's saying it's not a good term because of the verse of the Goyim also called. Okay, here we're calling them, they're calling the Chashuvim of Torah. They are the Rosh Yeshivas, and they are the Alufei HaTorah. Okay, two different categories. They are Rosh Yeshivas and the Alufei HaTorah. Umei Rishus, from the Zekenim, Uneorim, Yoishvei Shul, that sit on the row. The Neorim, why would you ask Rishus from a Nar? This is a really, really good question here, tough question. When you ask Rishus usually from the Chashuvim, the people that are above you. Yet here, it goes to show you a very beautiful principle. There's nothing wrong with asking Rishus from a child or a Nar. A Nar, you know, a Nar has many meanings. It depends on its context, what a Nar means. Those who sit in the row. So it seems that in the Sanhedrin, there were rows of the members of Sanhedrin, and the closer you are to the front, you get a promotion. A newcomer, he sits in the back, and then as people retire or they die, then people move up from the back. You move up to the next row, to the next row, to the next row, and there is kavod where you sit. But everyone in the Sanhedrin, they sit in a row. They sit on a bench. They sit in an order. Now, in the Beis HaMikdash, they sat in a semicircle. It wasn't a shura. Maybe it was a shura.
Three rows of 23.
They sat, it was a semicircle. It was a semi, like the moon, the crescent of the moon. In Kerem B'Yavneh, right? It was the yeshiva in Kerem B'Yavneh. Why was it called Kerem B'Yavneh? A vineyard. Why do they call the name of the yeshiva in the Gemara? It's in the Gemara. There's a yeshiva today called Kerem B'Yavneh. Rabbi Goldwich, he passed away a long time ago. But why is it called, why did the Gemara, do they call the yeshiva Kerem B'Yavneh? So one of the reasons given is because the Talmidim sat in rows, like in a vineyard. In a vineyard, you plant the vines in orderly rows. You don't just haphazardly throw things around. There is a seder in a vineyard as to how you set up the trestles. Is that what it's called, the trestles? How you set up the vines. There are rows. In the yeshiva, they sat in orderly rows. So over here, referring to the Talmidei Chacham that are occupied, their occupation is they learn Torah, and they are called the Zikanim and the Na'odim, Yoshvei Shu, that sit in orderly rows in the Beis Medrash. So we have asked over here, Rishusim, how many different entities? From Hashem, from the Torah, from the Sanhedrin, from the Rosh Yeshivos and the Alufi HaTorah, and from the Zikanim and Na'odim Yoshvei Shura, there are five entities. We break it in the word, the Rishus appears here five times. There are five entities from whom we ask Rishus from. Certainly there's an allusion to the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. We ask permission from five different bodies. Next, what do I want to ask permission? Eftach pi b'shir uvizimra. I want to open my mouth with song. And the two different words for song. Shir and zimra. L'hoidois, to give praise. Ulahalel, another word for praise. To whom? Lidar b'nohara, to the one that dwells in light. Hashem dwells in a world of light. Shehechiyanu v'kiyimanu b'yirasei ha-tohara. He has kept us alive. He's given us life. B'yirasei ha-tohara, in his yiras, in the opportunity to fear Hashem. It's a whole new
pure faith.
So it's interesting, how often do you think about saying those words? Shechiyanu v'kiyimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. Rav Steinman said, Rav Steinman, how old was he when he died? He was over 100 years old. So he said, what he said, he think it's a maila to live to 100 years old, to be a zokein. Yeah, you have a lot of opportunities to do more mitzvahs, but you have a lot of opportunities to do more averas. So you live, if a person lives 80 years old and he's given another 20 years, is that really for his benefit? Do you know how many averos you can do in those 20 years? From 80 to 100? You know how many terrible things a person can do? Can in his mind, can you know, it's a nachrayas. A person's given a gift of arichas yom and becomes a nachrayas. And when you say shechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh, who says it so good? Who says you have there with Mr. Shalach, with ve'enenu ki logach
lesol?
Oh, I was Chanoch. I'm sorry, Chanoch. Ve'enenu, Hashem took him. Why? Because he was about to do averus. That's what Chazal say. He got to a point where he was. It's not nice to say these words. He was burnt out, and better he should die a tzaddik, and not be nichshol. The ben soirer umoireh. So, when a person says, you say, Baruch atah Hashem lekeinu melech olam, shechiyanu v'kiyimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. Really? Really? This past year, you were in a whole year, and you came to a new point in time where you can make the bracha, shechiyanu v'kiyimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. Really? This past year, did you do more averos than mitzvahs, or more mitzvahs than averos? What's the maila of shechiyanu v'kiyimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh if you have not utilized and taking advantage of the time, b'yirasoi ha-tahoira. And here, like no place else, does it put us in place. And it says, oh, you want to make a shechiyanu? You want to make a shechiyanu that you came to another simchas ha-tahoira? You've been able to go listen, go through the parsha, go through the whole seder of chamishei chumshei Torah? Really? You're really happy? Shechiyanu v'kiyimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh? Yeah, do you live a year of with the year as Elokim? Shechiyanu v'kiyimanu b'yirasoi? Hatahira. Okay, so you have to ask the question, Biyosa Hatahira. It's a very powerful line here. Vigyanu Lismoyach Bisimchas. Oh, here's a play on the bracha. We take the whole bracha and we embellish the bracha, Shechayanu, Vikimanu, Vigyanu, and we embellish it with the words Biyosa Hatahira and Vigyanu Lismoyach Bisimchas Hatahira. It wouldn't be so bad if we would say this every single time we make a Shechayanu, to remind us what the purpose of life is all about. Purpose of life, we've merited to reach another breakpoint in the year, another simcha, another event, where we make a Shechayanu, but for what purpose? If it's not going to be with your Shemaim, and if it's not going to be alive with Simcha Satara, what's the purpose of the Shechayanu? And there are a lot of hidden gems in this Rishus that are really blow the mind. Hamisamech Hamisamachas. Torah, it gives joy to the heart, and it enlightens the eyes. What does it mean in the art scroll? It says, and enlightens the eyes. Yes, it gladdens the heart. Torah, it gives joy to the heart and enlightens the eyes. Okay, next. Torah gives oisher. What kind of oisher? We always say this in Birchas Rosh Chodesh. Oisher, yeah? Really? Talmidei Chacham are rich. If a Talmud Chacham is rich, watch out. Isn't that nasty? I'm such a nasty guy here today. Okay? But if a Talmud Chacham is very, very wealthy, people say, watch out, watch out. It doesn't go to, there's no such thing.
Well, a good deal of the Rishonim were wealthy people. That's why they had the
opportunity to learn.
They had the money.
They were wealthy. They were comfortable. They weren't mega.
Some of them were extremely wealthy.
Extremely wealthy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Read the bio.
Okay. It's the exception. It's the exception, not the norm. Because you can't have it all. You can't have it all. If a person, you know, it's one thing. Person has inherited wealth. Person, but a person, you know, is a self-made millionaire. It comes with a price. You don't just make money by just...
Most of them were inherited.
They were inherited, right.
Inherited.
You make money, you go try to make a few bucks. People, I know Talmid Chachamim, the Parnassah comes from selling. Selling Esrogim. Okay, selling Esrogim. I know two or three people, the whole Parnassah comes from selling Esrogim. Well, you think it's 2 weeks a year, the whole business 2 weeks a year? It's a whole year. It's a whole year, working your head off the whole year, worrying daigus and going to Eretz Yisrael, to the orchards, and then going there a month before to cut, to inspect, to ship, and then all the bookkeeping, you just like that. It comes, money comes with a price. To be a Talmud Chacham for real, you have to be roishoy v'ruboy yoimon v'layla v'higisabo yoimon v'layla. If you're a self-made millionaire, Torah u'gedula b'mokayim echad is a very rare exception to the norm. And here when it says, oh, Torah gives oisher, what's it mean when it gives oisher? Ezehu oisher hasameach b'chelgoy. Kovod? Really? Kovos? Really? Ezehu mechubad hamechabed. The chayim, life, the sifara, splendor. I don't know the deeper meaning of that. Certainly there's some very great depth in this. Ma'areches yamim, arichas yamim. Okay, arichas yamim, not all Talmidei Chacham arichas yamim, but certainly the days, every moment they live is value. Okay, there's no wasting time. U'maysefes gevura, ezeu gibor, ha'koyveish es yitzray. If you're giving this kibbut to a Talmud Chacham, the words of the kibbutz don't mean the Benjamins. And it doesn't mean he's a gibor, he'll take out a sword and have a fist fight with you and he'll win. He'll have a wrestling match. That's not what it means. When you're dealing with Talmidei Chachamim, these words have a whole different meaning. Ezeu Osher, Hasnev Chalko, Ezeu Mechubad Amchabed. And Arichas Yamim means don't waste time. Moisev is Gevur, Ezeu Gibor, HaKoyvish HaSitzroi, Lo'o HaVeho. To those that love her, Torah, Ula Shomreha, those that guard the mitzvahs, b'tzivui v'ashara, the commandments and the warnings, different expressions describing all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. I know there's a lot of depth in this. I'm not sure what these words mean exactly, but they guard the mitzvahs of the Torah. Well, That's right. So far, nothing. Exactly. So far, nothing was said. So far, we're just giving an introduction. We're asking reshus from five entities, and we're saying, I want to open my mouth now to give praise, to the Ribbono Shel Olam that has given us life, and has given us a life of Torah. And what is Torah all about? Torah is about joy, Simchas HaTorah. It's about the Torah gives a life of Torah, and a life of Torah has all of these qualities. Uvechein, Yehirat Zayin Milofnei. Now you have to turn to the other page. Okay, turn to six. There's no title on this page. There's no number. Okay. Tafresh Lamed Tes. Hebrew number. Tafresh Lamed Tes. Yehirat Uvechein Yehirat Zayin Milofnei. I will suppose Milofnei Hagivura. Maybe the will before. Before the Gevurah means before Hashem. Hashem is the usual expression, right? It's not a common way to refer to Hashem. Milafnei HaGevurah may be the will before the Almighty. In the art scroll, they translate the word HaGevurah, the Almighty. Okay, of course it means Hashem, HaGevurah. Again, it's not a common way to refer to Hashem. Law says, may you grant Chayim, life, v'chesed, kindness, v'atara, and a crown, l'rebi, Ploini ben Rebbe Ploini. That's the name of the Chosin Torah. Hanivcha, that has been selected. Notice that line. He didn't buy this. The Chos has been selected. Lahashlim HaTorah. Now here we begin the Aleph base. People, this subbing people, most people don't notice this. Not everyone notices this. This is the whole of Mordechai. You did this for 20 years. Did you notice this? It's the Aleph base?
Yeah,
the Aleph Beis. We now go through all the letters of the Aleph Beis. And Rabbi Yisai, you have to appreciate, there's nothing like this in our liturgy. Every single time we have the letters of the Aleph Beis, we're using it to describe the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ashrei Yoshev V'Secho, go through all the times, the Piyutim, that have the Aleph Beis in Eicha, to take the holy letters of the Aleph Beis, all the letters, an order which is sacred beyond belief, and to apply it to a human being, to give cover to a human being, this is literally off the charts. If someone would do this today, let's say someone would compose, there would be a body of rabbis that had authority to do something today, and they, oh, you know what, let's compose a reshus for the Chosin Torah. Make believe, world of fantasy. There was no such thing as a reshus for Chosin Torah, and all the rabbonim of Gantz Klal Yisrael would come together in a meeting, and they would say, we have to spice up Simchas Torah, and we want to write a piyut to give covered to the Chosin Torah. And we ask all the tzaddikim, all the talented people to compose a piyut to give covered to the Chosin Torah. I'm willing to bet, in my fantasy imagination here, is that this would be rejected. They would say it's too much, to take all of the letters of the Aleph Beis in order and use them as a means of giving honor to a person? No way. Too much. We've taken all the letters of the Aleph Beis in Ashrei and in the Mizmah we say on Shabbos, in Tehillim. There's another Mizmah that's the letters of the Aleph Beis. And other selected piyutim, Akdamos is the elders of the Aleph Beis, right? Akdamos is the Aleph Beis. And in Eicha, there's the Aleph Beis. But the common denominator of that is
Kelodoin,
right? And davening also, every single day in davening, because Kriya Shema, Kel Baruch, Gedol Deo Hechin Ufal, Zorecham Otov Yotza, Kavod Lashmo. There are a nice collection of compositions, whether they are from the prophets or they're from the rabbis, that take the letters of the Aleph Beis in order and use it as a tool to to accomplish something very sacred. But to take the letters of the Aleph Beis and give it cover to a human being, I think that's a little bit heavy. Rav Mordechai, you agree with me? It's a little bit over the top. Rav Mordechai, Rav Raevsky, what do you think? You think it's a little bit over the top?
Yeah.
It's a little bit over the top, no? You have an appreciation for what this is. And yet it's done. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Powerful stuff, right?
Yeah.
But now, by the way, do you do this for the Chosin Bereishis? Nope. That alone tells me this is where the action is. You don't do the letters of the Aleph Beis for the Chosin Bereishis, only for the Chosin Torah. It's powerful stuff here. Okay, so we go.
Depends, you know, if two different people wrote it, then they had different things on their mind when they wrote it.
Absolutely, totally different.
Which one came first?
L'chaira, this came first. L'chaira, this came first. Why? Because we would know who wrote it. If it came afterwards, we would know who wrote it, and there would have been an acrostic. The acrostic started in the Middle Ages. The acrostic started later. The acrostics didn't start.
Well, the purpose of acrostics was to be able to remember something.
Right. Who wrote it?
Printed.
The style of acrostics was later, was like during the time of the Rishonim or the Paitonim. The early, the Kadmonim, in the time of the Goinim, they didn't have acrostics in the time of the Goinim. I don't think you have Piyutim from those times. There are very few Piyutim from them. So, you know, the Piyutim, they started late. If there's an acrostic, you already know you're dealing with at least the 11th, 12th, even later, the later centuries. All right, in any event.
Well,
there's no acrostic in David HaMelech. There's no mention of David HaMelech. No, but there's no, David's name is not mentioned. There's no acrostic.
No.
The Aleph Beis, but there's no acrostic. There's no acrostic, no name. Okay, let's go for this. We're going to talk. Let's go for this.
Shimon Amsumi darshened all the essence of the Torah until he came to us, Hashem will take the year.
Correct.
Rabbi Akiva.
Right.
And he darshened as
the Rabbi is Talmidei Chachamim.
And he accepted
Aleph to Tav.
What's the honor? Yira. Yira.
S Lir, Lir. I thought you would say is S is Aleph to Tav. All the letters S, you give kavod to the Talmidei Chachamim. S Aleph to Tav. And here you mekayim it. That's a good var. See, that's a good var of Simchas Torah. The rabbis Talmidei Chachamim have to appreciate that they have all the letters of the Aleph Beis here over here. And how do I know this? Only because of art scroll. I would never pick this up. I mean, this it should be obvious, right? But I would never pick it up. And this art scroll that was kind enough to wake up. They make it in bold for you. Wake up. Whoever did this, is probably Davis did this. He sits in Davin's here by Davis. And this ran this shul and this is in the Davin this minion. I think he's the one who did this. He did this. Yuri Davis, or Menachem Davis. Edited by Menachem Davis.
So you pointed out the fact that the Aleph Beis is attributed to a person.
That is out
there. He pointed out that the Aleph Beis is attributed.
We're using the Aleph Beis to look what it says, L'amitzai, to strengthen him, L'varchoi, to bless him, L'gadloi, to make him great, B'talmud Torah.
It's being used even though it ordinarily.
Right. And L'darshoi, yep. I'm sorry?
The lamed
here appears enormous. Maybe you can count how many lameds there are. Maybe you can make a drush of how, right? Every line, the lamed, all of these blessings should come. Where in the world can you get such a blessing? You go to the biggest Rebbe in the world, you'll never get such a blessing like this. To get the la'amit soy, to strengthen him, l'varchoy, to bless him, l'gadloy, b'salmatoy, l'dor soy, to seek him out. For what? L'chayim, for life. They go together, the dor soy, l'chayim. L'hadroy, the hey, to glorify him, l'vadoy, to establish him, b'chavura, amongst the Torah scholars. He should be accepted. You know, that's a pretty big bracha. There's some very big talmidei chachamim. They're just not accepted. He's not from unzer dimension. You know, people don't want, they don't want to accept him. Yehuda, ato yuducha achecha, right? There's the Chazal say that the Yehuda, when he went to the Yeshiva Shalmaila, oh, look who's here in the Yeshiva Shalmaila, Yehuda. Yehuda has arrived. Sit in the back and keep your mouth shut. And Moshe had to be mispalel. No! Yehuda has to be accepted.
in the yeshiva Shalmaila has to be accepted. Yehuda's bones were rattling in the coffin. He wasn't accepted. Was it Yehuda or was it Reuven? I forget. Was it Yehuda or Reuven? Ato Yehuda. Yehuda. And he, the pasuk there says that he should be accepted, that they should embrace him. He shouldn't just be sitting in the bed, the yeshiva Shalmaila on the side. Everything needs siyata deshmaya in every single dimension of Levadoi to establish him b'chavura. By the way, it's chavura, not chabura. I wonder in Lakewood when they say the rishus if they say b'chabura or b'chavura. A chabura means to hit, bang 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 bang. A chavura means a group. In Lakewood,
chaburas.
They give chaburas.
Yeah.
Which, what does that mean? They beat up each other. That's not what it means. They give chavuras. A chavura is a group. So it's incorrect, but that's the way the world goes. So I'm wondering, maybe in Lakewood, maybe I have to ask the people there in the Beis Medrash, when they call the Rishus Chasan Torah Levadoi, what do they say? Do they say Bachabura or Vachavura? It should be Vachavura. Okay, get a recording. You can't get a recording, it's Yom Tov. Lizakoisoi to grant him merit, lechayoisoi to give him life. Litakisoi. What does that mean? Litakisoi. Betekes oira. We repeat it just in case we don't know what the word means. That's a hard word. I don't know what it means. Art scroll says it means to arrange in the array of the Torah's light. Litakisoi betekes oira. Okay, I don't know what this word means. A tekes. What's a tekes? Tekes. Tekes says it means an array, an arrangement. He shall be arranged to arrange him in an arrangement of light. It's a sophisticated word. We have to one day study that word in more detail. What exactly is the depth? Where is it used in Tanakh? I want to get a better grab, a better tefisa on this unusual word. At least for me it's unusual, letakesoi beteches oira, to arrange him in an array of light. Liyashara, yeah?
It could be first, it could be the last. It could be the middle. Array is a row.
An array means a whole collection, an orderly arrangement of many, many things coming together. An assortment, but an order. There is a sophistication in how it's put together.
So your place in that sense.
Right. You should be part of an order of Talmidei Chachamim. Your learning should be arranged. There's a certain beauty. There's sophistication. Like a melody. A melody has different parts. There's the low part, the high part. There's the beginning, the end. There's an array. An array is there are many, many different parts. Everything is in its right place. Everything has to be in its right place, time, place. It's a complicated concept. Teches. Letakesoi beteches oira. We have to really study this word in more detail. All the other words so far, I think we're pretty much familiar with. But this word is, to me at least, is a more difficult word which needs study. Liyashiroi. To make him, now over here I really like what the art scroll says, this I enjoy, integrity. Liyasharai, that he should be blessed with integrity. That's a pretty good bracha. L'chaliloi. L'chaliloi is not such a hard word. L'chalosh of koil, chof lam, which means with everything. And the art scroll doesn't say that. It says to grant him distinction. I have no idea where he got that from. L'chaliloi. With distinction, where does the word l'chalai means distinction? It means to be finished or off. It means to have everything, to be a kolboy. A kolboy. L'chalai, over here they write, to grant him distinction. L'lamdoi, to teach him. Lekach usvar. Lekach always means knowledge. Lekach. Ki lekach toiv nasati lachem. Teirasi al tazayv usvara. Logic, understanding. L'malitoi, to rescue him. Lenasoi, to elevate him. Lisadoi, to support. Over here they were to, I don't even know how to pronounce this, how do you pronounce this word? Succor. S-U-C-C-O-R.
Succinct.
Aid.
No, not succinct.
Succor. Succor is aid.
to help. Aid. Lasad means support, to support. Sukkur, S-U-C-C-O-R. That's not in my vocabulary.
Sucker?
That's why it's not in my vocabulary. I guess that's why I'm not familiar with this word. Okay, we don't use this word today, okay? It's a sucker. It doesn't sound good to me. Okay? Okay, but in the art scroll, they use lisadoi to succor him. S-U-C-C-O-R. I don't know why they didn't just say the word to support. Bisa'ad lisadoi, bisa'ad berura. Okay, I guess because the repetition, they don't want to say the word twice. To succor him with support that is clear. La'adonai, idun means which to give him delicacies. They translate here to delight him. Lefarnisoi, everyone likes that word. Letzadikoi, to make him righteous. Ba'am nivra, among the recreated nation. Now, what in the world does that mean over here? Ba'am nivra, I really don't like this. If I was on the art scroll, my fantasy world, now we're up to art scroll. First I started with Aguda, then I went to Lakewood, now I'm up to art scroll. I'm getting into a lot of trouble here. A recreated nation? If a Michal Miller was here today, he would go ballistic on this translation. A recreated nation, you know what that sounds like? That sounds like Christianity. Okay? What's Mr. Cohn, you're getting a phone call. Okay, this word, go, don't worry, it's okay, don't worry. Okay, Ba'am Nivra. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. You have to type into the computer, Am Nivra in Tanakh, and we can probably find a parish of what it means. Ba'am Nivra. Amongst a nation Nivra. What does that mean? I have no idea. Only the Jewish people were created? The Goyim were not created? To say over here, obviously, whoever wrote this translation, I have no doubt in my mind that he's an outstanding Talmud Chacham, way beyond my imagination. He obviously was disturbed with this word, this expression, and he wrote here in the art school translation, among the recreated nation. What does that mean? It's a dangerous term, because the Christians called themselves the reborn. A reborn nation, a reborn, that word is used in a very ugly, secular sense. So I don't know what this means. I challenge you on Simchas Torah to go up to the rabbi. I don't know. But I'm never, but where do you see the word a reborn nation? On Simchas Torah, you go to the rabbi and you ask him, what does this term mean? Ba'am Nivra. What does it mean? Okay, you want to translate the words? Very good. A nation that's created? What? What does that mean? There has to mean something very...
Created with all these attributes as opposed to other people.
In the time when Mashiach comes, is that going to be like a new world order?
Oh, that's a very bad term. To a new world order. World Economic Forum.
Well, that's what they say.
Conspiracy people there. I don't know, okay? This requires... So we have two things that require more elaboration. The word teches. I like that word teches. Teches, and we have to understand what it means in Am Nivra. Maybe just that was a pasuk in Tanakh. It's probably an expression in Tanakh. I type into the computer, I'll find the pasuk, and it's probably being, this is very likely being drawn from an expression somewhere in Tanakh. Let's go further. L'karvoi, to draw him near. L'rachamoi, mercy. U'l'shamroi, to protect him. Be called tsuka vitzara. We have that often. It means distress and trouble. Here's the last letter of the Aleph Beis, litokfoi, which means strengthen. Then now here he's doing something, you know, over here he's saying over here, now by the way it's with a suf, not a tuf, and he's playing with it, lisamchoi, because the phonetic sound of a suf and a samach are the same. And then he repeats it, L'samchoi, B'ruach Nishbara. Now this is a little bit also, a little bit, and he requires understanding. When his spirit, now, when a spirit is nishbara. This requires elaboration. This line. Because if you read it over here in the article, they translate it to strengthen him, assist him, support him when his spirit is shattered. What? When his spirit is shattered, you're cursing him? The Chasan Torah is now being called up. By the way, you know, down the line, as it'll come a time when you're gonna suffer. You're gonna suffer. Your spirit will be shattered. You're gonna hear bad news. You're gonna be defeated. So you know, we give you a bracha that when that happens, you should be. You know, we'll take you to rehabilitation and we'll give you some medicine and we'll bring in a psychologist and we'll invigorate you. We'll strengthen you and assist you. Why do you have to say that? Why do you have to go and go tell them, oh, when you'll have a big problem later in life, then we give you a bracha that Hashem should come to your rescue and you should be resurrected. That's not what you do when you give a person the bracha. That's not what you say. It's inevitable. Okay, everyone dies. I said, to strengthen him, assist him, and support him when his spirit is shattered. Now, at face value, if you read the article translation, I'm baffled. What? That's what it means? You're telling me that the Paiton wrote, we're giving the cover to the person, the Chasan Torah, we're giving you these incredible blessings that are beyond belief, and we say, oh, by the way, you know, it's going to happen, you should know, down the line, you're going to have bad news, you're going to suffer tragedy, and your spirit is going to be shattered. So then, we're praying for you in advance, that you should get a good doctor, a good psychologist, give you good therapy to mechazek you. What? That's not the way you talk. And if you think, oh, but it's inevitable, every person suffers defeat. Okay, so it's inevitable. You don't have to say it. Not everything that happens has to be said. So therefore, I am suggesting that's not what it means. When it says, Beruach Nishbara, it's when your ruach is nishbar in a good way. In a good way. What would be in a good way? L'sakva l'samcha l'samcha b'ruach nishbara, when you're exhausted from staying up the whole night learning. Let's say a person's up the whole night. You're learning, you're mamash, you're exhausted. You're exhausted from the amelus. You're up the whole night. The whole night you're learning. And now, in the morning, I don't have a koyach. I was up the whole night. How am I going to go give shir today? How am I going to go learn another day? When your ruach is broken in for good reasons. When you're exhausted, you should be revigorated. When you're exhausted from a long shmona esrei, yom kippur. You dive in the ila, you give it all you got. You give it all you got. And now you finish the ila. V'hurachum, you gotta be kidding. I don't have koyach to dive in ma'ariv. After such a ne'ila, really, you know what we should really do? I'm not joking now. I'm not joking with you. Really? You know, there's a minute, there are shuls that they don't do kiddush levana right after Ma'ariv. They tell the Olam, you go home, you eat, change, you come back, change your shoes, and you come back when you have koyach, and then we'll do Kiddush Levana the right way. You know what the emes is? I'm not joking. If you lived in an ideal world, you shouldn't have Ma'ariv. Ah, Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem Elokim seven times, go home. Go home, make Havdalah, eat. And then, an hour later, we'll come back, we'll daven ma'ariv like a mensch. Like a mensch. Or have refreshments in shul. Don't leave the shul, because the whole shaila, you know, you have to daven kriyashma. That's right. First, let's have some refreshments. Catch your breath. And then we'll daven like a mensch. Unfortunately, I've been around the block. the way Ma'ariv is davening Mitzvah Yom Kippur in some places, it's not the way it's supposed to be. Okay.
That's the joke. Why you say Slach Lanu right away by Myron?
Okay, it's not exactly the way you're supposed to daven. What Mitzoyim is worse. Worse. Okay, every night's a hiva problem. But Mitzoyim Kippur, so I'm saying when it says over here, L'sokvay, L'samchay, L'samchay, Yibruch Neshwar means after you finish Ni'ilah, you should have koyach to daven Ma'arif. It can't mean Yibruch Neshwar means the way when the spirit is shattered, the way they make it sound over here in the art scroll. I mean, it doesn't say anything in the art scroll. The way it makes it sound is like, oh, you're gonna. It can't be. It just can't be something like that. You can't.
I just look at it as humility to have humility because you're getting this kippur.
So you want to go say, so you're saying a very good shot. You're saying Baruch Nishvar doesn't, it means you should have a Ruach Nishvar.
Right.
You're saying we're giving you a blessing that you shouldn't be a Balgaiva. That you should be a strong person with a Ruach Nishvara. We're giving you a blessing that you should be a person that has a broken spirit in a good way. Humble person. But don't walk around like I'm a nobody. You should have a stoltz. L'sokvay, l'samchay, l'samchay, b'ruach nishbara. Gaiva de kedusha. Right? You should, that's not the right term. You should be a person who is a meek, humble person, but also have a certain chashivas to yourself. Exactly. If you're giving him a bracha to have a certain type of ruach nishbara. Okay, now, next part. Amoid.
Moshe Rabbeinu, who says, Anov Miov Mikolo Adam, doesn't mean that he didn't know that he was the greatest person who would ever live, because he'd be a fool if he weren't. But he understands what that means in terms of comparing himself to God. He's nothing. You know, he put himself in the right place. You know, but as a human being, he knew he was the greatest. He'd be a fool otherwise.
Okay, so it has to mean something like that, what you said. Absolutely. Now, here we have to appreciate the next line. Amoid, amoid, amoid. Wait a minute. You don't repeat words. Amoid, amoid, amoid. You know, there's so much Torah in the Shemona Esrei. This is not the Shemona Esrei. This is just a P. You can do whatever you want. There's no prohibition to be mafsik. But you know, everyone knows the controversy of allowing Chazanim to repeat words. Big controversy.
But he just finished with Ruach Nishbara, so you got to tell him, because he doesn't think he's deserving of this honor. So you tell him, get up. No, you, get up. You, get up, get up.
This period, which was written probably, I don't know when it was written. I would assume it was written from the time of the Goinim. And in the piyut, it says the word amoid three times. Now, we all know that in the piyutim or in the nusach of Shmona Esrei, this is an old controversy if it is correct for the chazonim to repeat words. And today, in the yeshiva world today, it's unacceptable. In the modern yeshiva world, that's an oxymoron. Okay, an oxymoron. The modern yeshiva world.
If an Adam Kosher calls you up, you go right away. If it's a plain person, three times you have to go up.
Oh, you're saying excellent. Excellent. He's saying brilliant. The Shulchan Aruch, if they ask you to go daven for the Amud, so the first time you're supposed to say no. The second time you're supposed to, this is the Shulchan Aruch, it's the Mechaber. The second time you're supposed to, you know, kvetch a little bit, and the third time, you go right away. Exactly, you mamish hit the nail on the head. This is a home run. You're telling a person, we're being mechabed you. We're going to have to ask you three times? Okay, amoid, amoid, amoid. No nonsense here. Again, because this is the person that gets this keyboard is selected. He didn't buy it, he's selected. Amoid, amoid, amoid. Mechaber, Shulchan Aruch, halacha. But yet, now before we get to that, yet you have to also appreciate is the controversy of repeating words. In the modern yeshiva world, oxymoron, it is unacceptable to repeat words. So what do they do? What they do is not much better. They just sing melody. Ayayayayay. instead of saying the word again, so you just go, oh, yo, 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 Why is that better than saying the word? Then what's the difference? Is it a hefsek? Is it not a hefsek? If it's for the melody, you can go, everyone sing, everyone, b'liyoyts v'naklal, all, who doesn't do that? Who doesn't do that? So why is, why is that any different than repeating words? I guess it is, because pukhazi ma'amadvar. And there is no question that you will find Gidoyle Yisrael, certainly back, who allowed the Chazanim to repeat words. Can't argue with that. This, it was acceptable. Today it's not, but it definitely was. This Python, this is a piyut, this is not a Milo Shmona Esrei, it's not Chazor Sashatz, it's a piyut, big deal, big deal, but still, it's uncharacteristic of the piyutim where you have something like this. Amoid, amoid, amoid. Okay, you'll say it's an instruction, it's not part of talking to Hashem, you're giving a direct instruction to the person to ascend. Okay, there are a lot of answers. I love what Rav Mordechai said, that this is out of Shulchan Aruch, that when you tell a person, you ask a person to give him a cover, the kibbutz, to daven, the first time he's supposed to say no, the second time he's supposed to already shakul or shtikl, and the third time he's supposed to acquiesce. Now notice
also,
the nus.
Also, it's the beginning of a paragraph.
Not
the middle of anything. There's a dot before the amoid.
Okay, but it's still a little of the piyut.
No, but it's not the middle. No, but when you said the ruach neshbara, period, new paragraph, amoid. It's not the middle of everything.
But the words have been selected. Look at the next words. Chasan HaTorah, this is, it could be that the Chasan HaTorah comes from this piyut. And then the next, the same kovod, Lekel Gadol V'Noira, it's not just amoid. This is part of the piyut, even if it's a new paragraph. How far do you want to go with that? I don't know.
Well, say if you say something before, there's no hefsek involved.
I know, it's not Shmoneh Esrei, there's no Isser to be mafsek. But yet, you don't find in Piyutim words being repeated. Because many of the Piyutim that were composed were later inserted into the Shmoneh Esrei in locations where you can't be mafsik. Every Piyut was made l'chatchil to be said as a standalone Piyut. They were Piyutim, and then the Piyutim were so beautiful, oh, let's put this in Ovis, let's put this in Gvuras, let's put this in Kedusha. And those are places where you can't be mafsik. And if you have a piyut which has words repeated, would Chazal have inserted? I'm just saying off the top of my head, I don't know. I'm just saying it's unique in that we repeat words. And obviously, it's what's the big deal? You're telling the person to ascend. Maybe I'm making more out of this than it really is. Rav Mordechai said a very beautiful idea that's Shulchan Aruch. You have to ask three times. And here it's part of the piyut. Chasan HaTorah. V'sein g'kavar l'kel gadol v'noira. What happened? To the gibor. What, do you think it's an accident? Merishos hakel hagodol hagibor v'hanoiro. And here, we say in cover, lokel gadol v'noiro. What happened to the gibor? The gibor. Hey, where'd it go? How it happened? It just an accident? It disappeared? I don't know the answer. We'll just finish up this and we'll do Bereshis tomorrow. But let's finish up over here. Uvischarze, and the reward for this tisk, and this over here, you have incredible things over here. And the reward for this, tiske may you merit, tiske may kel noira, from the kel that is noira, lirois, now this is what it's all at. The reason why you don't get this bracha, chasen Bereshis, I'm bent on proving to you that chasen Bereshis, chasen Torah is the only thing to get. If you noticed my take on this, Chasen Torah is more Chashav than Chasen Bereshis. And when I hear people tell me, no, Chasen Bereshis is more Chashav than Chasen Torah, I get very upset. And my proof is, so I'll tell you conceptually, you goymer the Torah, you maskul the Torah, you can argue what's better, what's worse. Look at the Rishus. The Rishus says it all. There is just, you give all the letters of the Aleph Beis, nowhere, you show me somewhere where you can do this, they would tell you, they would never let you do this today. All the letters of the Aleph Beis give cover to a person. And over here you get the ultimate bracha, V'schar zeh tiskel mikel noira lirois bonim uvenei vonim oiskim batoira. What more could you want? Umekayme mitzvois, and bimekayme also, mitzvois also, b'soich am yofol vora. Wow, that's a beautiful expression. A nation that's beautiful, uvora, and that is brilliant. Okay, uvora is a nice word. Uvora, which also needs a little bit more be'or. V'siske l'smoyach b'simchas beis ha-bechira, to rejoice in the beis ha-migdash. Ufonecha, may your ponim, countenance, l'ho'ir, to shine, bitstaka, with righteousness. And look at this bracha. You show me another bracha like this. B'aspaklaria ha-meira. Okay, to shine with righteousness through a lens that is clear. I have no idea what this means. Okay, we know that the prophets, that the Moshe Rabbeinu, he saw prophecy, b'aspaklaria ha-meira. Whereas all of the other prophets, they only saw prophecy, b'aspaklaria she'ena me'ira. So your face, countenance, should shine with righteousness, b'aspaklaria ha-meira. No, what does this mean exactly? I don't know. Kiniba Yeshayahu mole ruach etzu ugvur, like Yeshayahu. Now notice here, we call him Yeshayahu. We don't call him Yeshaya. That's also an important note, because many people don't call him Yeshaya. It's safer Yeshayahu, but you don't say Yeshayahu. You only say Yeshaya because he was murdered. He was murdered by his grandson Menashe. So for whatever the reason, because he was murdered, you don't call him by his full name. That's one reason. Or it's Hashem's name. The Paitan had no problem. There are a lot of halachic elements that come out of this piyut. Had no problem calling him Yeshayo. Anyone tells you, oh, you shouldn't say Yeshayo, you say Yeshaya. Many of the Sarim, even on the outside of the Nach, they write Yeshaya. They don't want to write Yeshayahu. Why? I'm not sure. So even... That's one reason. It's Hashem's name. You want to put the letters of Hashem's name together, okay? Another reason is because you don't want to. He was murdered. I don't know. I don't think we even really know the reason for sure. I once read about this. It's a minhag. We say Yeshaya. We don't say Yeshayahu. Really? Look at this piyut. Someone tells you that. Tell them. Look at this piyut. Kiniba Yeshayahu mole. Ruach Eitzo Ugvur, Yeshayahu, look how we describe him. He was filled with Ruach Eitzo Ugvura. That's a very interesting way to describe a Navi. Where do you have something like that? Simchu es Yerushalayim Megilubah Mehera. Why do we say that? Im loy ale es Yerushalayim al roish simchasi. You see that? When you come to be Messiah, the Torah, don't forget, im loy al roish. What is roish simchasi? Simchas haTorah, not a chasana, not a bar mitzvah, not a pinyan ben. The ultimate roish simchasi is simchas haTorah. I always tell this to you. People don't disagree with me. At harei soladas. What's the nigun of at harei soladas? People tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm making a mistake. I'm off tune. I don't know music. To me, it sounds like eicha. Eicha. Yoshua Bodod, Hoir Rabosiom, Ato Hore Solodas, Ki Hashem, Hu Elokim. No, it doesn't sound the same to you. The difference is how you end off. When it comes to Eich, you say, Hoyeso, Ki Almono, Atoresa, Atoresa, Eino, Milvadoi. You end off on a high. And Eicha, you end off on a low, but the beginning is nearly identical. People who are melumed in music tell me it's not, I'm off, but it's close. So why would you do that? Why would you sing Eicha on Simchas Torah? What are you out of your mind? Teretz is?
Same idea of a roof, Mishpara.
Im loy ale es Yerushalayim al roish Simchas. You're coming now to be Mesameach. Sisu v'simchu b'simcha satoira. This is Roish Simchasi. How dare you rejoice in the Torah when you don't have a Yerushalayim. And that's what it says over here. We have to finish, it was very late. Over here it says over here, Ufonecha, kinibi yishayu mali ruach etzik vur simcha etzik yishayim v'gilubo mehera. Rejoice with it, mehera, speedily, with Yerushalayim. Sisu ito mosois. Rejoice with her. What's her? Rejoice with her. Her means Yerushalayim. Her, the subject of the word her, ito, the mapikei, is Yerushalayim. Kol ha-mes'ablim aleha be'evel of etzara. That's how you end off. Okay, isn't that amazing? You end off the last thing you say before you call up the fellow to be Messiah the Torah is Im Loi Ale Es Yerushalayim Al Roi Simchasi Simchu Es Yerushalayim Megilu Ba Mehera Sisu Itama Sois. Rejoice with Yerushalayim, great joy. Kol HaMesal Malecha, all those who should rejoice with her. All those hamis ablim alecha be'evla v'tzara. This goes on the same principle. No pain, no gain. Only the ones that are going to, the, who are going to be the ones that are going to be zeicha to rejoice with Yerushalayim? Kol hamis abel al Yerushalayim. Only those that are hamis abel on Yerushalayim. Only they will be the ones zeicha v'roya b'simchasa. But if you're not hamis abel, I'll pass. Tisha B'av is not my day. I go into hiding. It's very easy to do that today. You know, Tisha B'Av, you know, it's not my... You're making a big mistake. If you don't get yourself into Tisha B'Av, you're going to lose out big. Because that's the simcha of Yerushalayim. Simcha li'artzecha v'sasim li'recha depends on kol ha'masabel li'Yerushalayim. Okay, you have the same thing, you say, sim, what do we say? We sing Elitzion Ve'areha. What's the we're in the Musaf of the Shalosh Regalim? Do you say that today? B'nei Ve'ischa Kivatchila. That's what Elitzion. B'nei Ve'ischa Kivatchila. That's Elitzion Ve'areha. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Im Loy Ale Es Yerushalayim Al Rosh Simchas. It's Yom Tov. It's Yom Tov, but don't forget. Im Loy Ale Es Yerushalayim Al Rosh Simchasi. Isn't that amazing over here? So you know, it's sick. We once gave a share. We once gave a show. All the different times when you are Misabel on Yerushalayim, I forgot. I didn't know. Add to the top of the list, and that share I told you about. Atoharei Soladas. But I didn't tell you this. And this is even better, because this is mamish, the words. And this is the very last thing. Amoid, 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 Rebbe ben Chassan Atara, Merishusko, Lakachol, HaKodosh, Hazel, Vahashem Atara. Yamoid, Nelugno. So this mamish, you see, before the last, Yamoid, Nachmal. You have to remember, Ima Olay Alishlaim. Now we conclude, Amoid, 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 Nachmal. Rebbe, you call him Rebbe? Why do you call him Rebbe? Who says he's a Rebbe? I don't know. I guess if he's a chassan Torah, if he's a chassan Torah, becomes a Rebbe. Okay, Ben, so and so chassan Torah, and then Nochamol. You see, this is a shira. A shira, you always go back to the beginning. That's the machus of a shira. A shira. One of the reasons, Rabbi, why do we begin Bereishis? I learned this yesterday. It's beautiful. You know, Baruch Simon. He put out a new volume on Sukkot. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. So there at the end, he has on Simchas Torah, and he says, I never, be such a beautiful pshat, never thought of this. Why are we go from Shemo, from Vezois HaBracha to Bereishis? Why is there Chas and Bereishis? So what does the Velt say? The Velt says, partially because the Satan is Mekatreg. If you don't start right away, or Hafeichba, the Kulaba, you have to start right away. You know the classic Torah of why Khalila, he says very pashut. The ata kisvuli es hashira hazais. The Torah is called a shira. The Torah is called a song. In melody, you always end with the lyrics. The lyrics, at least in the melody, also the end is always the same lyrics as the beginning. That is the style of a song. A song, Oz Yashir. What do you do when you finish Oz Yashir? Kivosus parabrichu v'froshu v'yoshalim v'sayim v'neish holchu v'sochayam. you end off with the beginning. Hashem. Suchs v'rochav rabbayim. What is that? You already said that already. You already said that. No, because it's a song, and a song, in order to be called a song, you have to end off the way you started. That is the way a song operates. So, and likewise here, this is Simchas Torah, why do you start with Bereishis? Because the Torah is a song. If the Torah is just like in a melody, the last lyric is the first lyric. So too, when you finish the Torah, the way you finish is with Bereishis. Because the Torah is not just a book, it's a song. The Atah Kisluli Esashira Hazois. Forget about all the nice Torah, it's infinite, the Satan is a Makatrek. Pashat, is it a song or not? If it's a song, the way you end the song is with the lyrics that appeared in the beginning of the song. So the way you end the Torah is with Bereishis. Pashat, it's a Shira. Nothing more complicated than that. Here also, this Piyut is a Shira. Is also a Shira. Memela, you have to conclude with a Rishus. The same way you started, Merishus. There were five bodies. So to a Merishus, Kol HaKohol HaKodesh HaZeh, V'Hash HaBatur. And this is the most beautiful Rishus. This is Rishus from the Tzibur. This is the sixth body. In the beginning of the we started with five bodies. Merishus HaKel HaRibayin Shalom, the Rishus of the Torah, Rishus of the Sanhedrin, the Rishus of the Rosh Yeshivas Ve'alufi HaTorah, and not the Adiri HaTorah. They didn't make it into the Rishus. Sorry, Lakewood, you didn't make it into the Rishus. We only ask Rishus from the Alufi HaTorah. Say this to a guy from Lakewood, he'll punch you in the face. From the Alufi HaTorah, the Rosh Yeshivas, and Rishus Zekanim. Five Rishuyos. And now at the end, we come to number six. Merishus kol hakohol hakadosh hazeh. Six bodies, entities, from whom we ask Rishus from. We end off like the beginning, and then we say Nochmal Ya'amoid, and this is very beautiful. How many times do we say the word Ya'amoid? Seven. Amoid, Amoid, Amoid. That was the first time. And then we do Nochmal. Amoid, Amoid, Amoid. That's six. And then Ya'amoid. That's number seven. Kineged, the seven Madure Gehenna. No. Kineged. Sorry. Kineged, the seven Rikiyos.
Right.
The seven Rikiyos. You go Le'ela, Le'ela. There are seven, right? There are seven heavens, and the Ribayin Shel Olam is Al Gabav, Echod, right? The letter Ches. Hashem is on top. We ascended seven levels, and now we come to the Torah. That is the abode, is the eighth. You've ascended seven, and now we come to number eight, is the Mo'ino. Okay, so we say the word Yamoid seven times, and again the five, six Rishuyos, and we learned over here about the Aleph Beis, so summarize the Aleph Beis, which is awesome. The Aleph Beis is unbelievable. We still need to learn about the Teches, what is that? And we need to learn about, oh, very good. You have to analyze it. I'm sure it's in Tanakh somewhere. We have to figure out what it means really more in array. Come on. I mean, we need more flavor than just that word array. And the Ruach Nishbara is a very beautiful thing which you said. We also, Amoid, Amoid, Amoid is because when you call up a person, you say in a series of three, is because Shulchan Aruch, you have to ask the person three times.
It's
seven in total, but in each series, you ask three times. In total, it's indeed seven, and you really call them up three times. You call like it's layers. Amoid, Amoid, Amoid is one. Amoid, Amoid, Amoid is two, and then Ya'amoid is the third. So you're doing it multiple times of three, and then we learned about this the chiddush of Yeshayahu, not Yeshaya. We call him with a beautiful title, the man who is Mali Ruach Eitzu Gvura. And we learned about this another very nice idea about Imloy Ale Es Yerushalayim Al Roish Simchasi. And we learned about the most beautiful bracha you can give a person. Lirois Bonim Ubine Bonim Oiskim Batoru Mekhaime Mitzvahs Besoich Am Yofe Uvara. Not to do Torah mitzvahs in isolation on the North Pole. to be zoicha, to be bonim oiskim b'torah mekayim mitzvos together with Klal Yisrael and am yofe uvara. Okay, so we learned Baruch Hashem a lot of incredible stuff. This reshus always fascinated me. It's an incredible thing. And in Yisrael, tomorrow we're going to dedicate the day to learn the reshus of Chasan Bereshis. 10:15, maybe 10:16.
Amen.